We have a command in God's law, which very simply says, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20 and verse 13. That commandment not only bids us not to harm life, it also bids us to support life in every way. It is the essence of loving our neighbor, to help them in every way that we can, when they are in need, when they are hurting, when they are in time of crisis. It is our duty as human beings, and even more as Christians, to reach out to those who are hurting, to those who are in need. This is the essence of the sixth commandment. And we saw this week, in the midst of tragedy, that God's law is written in the hearts of men all around the world. The entire world responded to people buried under rubble. We saw people digging with their bare hands. Amazing, noble sights to see. Women and children and men all together digging, hitting the rubble carefully, just getting a hole enough to get down in there to hear the voices to rescue them. And the cheers that come from that when the person emerges from the rubble. Over and over and over again, we've seen that. And especially precious was the child that I saw lifted from the rubble, barely 2 years old. Mother and father died. In that moment, I said, oh God, let me adopt this one. I would love to be the father to the fatherless. God put that law in our heart. But that law today, though it is convenient, in a sense, for us to respond to the helpless in Haiti, to take 2-3 weeks, even a month off from our schedule, even to fly there, to send our things over there, that fits within our life. But when a woman is shocked with the reality that she is with child, her whole world, in a sense, comes crumbling down, and she senses the pressure of family, of friends, of the culture, even of churches telling her that it's okay to abort that child. That is when we have a double standard in our morality in the United States and around the world. I don't like talking about the subject of abortion. It's an ugly subject. I like talking about abortion as much as I like talking about Hitler's Holocaust in Germany, or like I like talking about the slave trade in the United States of America. These were evils. But if I lived in Nazi Germany, I would be talking about the Holocaust. There's a story of a church that was located near the tracks of a train that was carrying loads and loads of Jewish people to their death, to Nazi concentration camps. And it was said that in this church, if you heard the train go by, you could hear the mourning and the crying coming from the train. And it is said that this church, when the train would come by, instead of compassionately praying for these people, they would just sing a little louder. And I believe that that is what we are doing as a culture, and it is ripping our culture apart. I am saying that as a child is ripped apart in the womb, so our morals, the very fabric of our morality, is being ripped apart in this country. The reason banks can't trust each other goes right down to the family unit. This is the problem. Indeed, 43% of the women that you see all around the United States, 43%, get that, 43% of them have had an abortion. 43%. And it's important that you understand this, because the only way that we're going to point people to Jesus Christ is by people seeing the reality of them breaking God's law and that God has come to rescue us from our own debauched morality. Last year, 4 million children were born to mothers in the United States. 4 million. And an additional 1 million who were conceived were not born. They were aborted. Out of the 5 million that were conceived in the United States, 1 out of 5 were taken. 1.2 million children were taken in the womb. We have a double standard in America. We have a double standard in the world. When compassion fits with my own narcissism, I comply to God's law. When it's convenient to me, this is the philosophy in our country and indeed in the world. Let me give you an example. Christ Hospital, where Katie and Will were born in Oaklawn, Illinois, is known and renowned for their neonatal unit, newborns. They are known for saving children's lives. The experts, the scientists, they want to be at Christ Hospital because of the amazing ways that they can save little babies' lives. But it is at this same hospital that they practiced induced labor abortion, which sometimes resulted in babies being aborted alive. They made it through the abortion. And so the practice at this renowned hospital, known for their newborn care, was also participating in the practice of giving these aborted babies that made it through the abortion to nurses. And there are many stories of this happening, taking them into soiled utility rooms and cradling them until they die, not feeding them, watching them die. That is the moral equivalent of knowing that you can remove the rock from the rubble and let that child go, let that child live, but sitting there and leaving that rock on the rubble and letting those cries pass right into your heart and doing nothing about it. It is the moral equivalent of being a fire chief and going to a burning building, knowing that you can save these people on the fifth floor, knowing that you have the ladder that will release them, and you sit there and you watch them die. This is what is happening in our country every day, all around the United States. 4,000 babies every day die in abortion. 4,000! 4,000! Every day, not every year, every day. That's more than 9/11. Every day. Why is our country being ripped apart? It's because our morality is ripped apart at the very foundation. Turn over to Psalm 127. What does the Bible say? Is a child inside the womb really a child? The reason that our society is numb morally is because we have imbibed the philosophy of Hitler and the slave traders. Hitler and the slave traders have the same philosophy that we have in the pro-abortion movement today. And I want you to see God's philosophy compared to Hitler and the slave traders. Hitler and the slave traders said, human beings are not really human beings. Unless you're an Aryan, you're not a human being. You're less of a human being. That's what Hitler said. The slave traders, even in our founding documents, said that if you were an African, you were less of a human being than if you were from another ethnicity. And that is the doctrine of demons. And yet, today's pro-abortion movement is deeming children in the womb, not as children, but as fetuses, as embryos. Now, what does God say? What does He say a child in the womb is? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the parallel response is, the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb, the embryo, the fetus, God calls it a child. The insanity of this thinking is that a child outside of the womb is different than a child inside of the womb. The only difference is 3 to 6 inches. That's the only difference. This is insanity. And it is tearing our country apart. Consider Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet before he was in the womb. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I want you to consider Luke, chapters 1 and 2. In verse 41 of chapter 1, the Bible calls the unborn John the Baptist a baby. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that is, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. It doesn't say the fetus. It doesn't say the embryo. It says the babe. In case you wonder what designation this is, if it's different from inside the womb than outside the womb, consider our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 2:16. It says the shepherds came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The babe in the womb and the babe lying in the manger are both babies. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 13. Does God look at you when you were in your mother's womb? Did he look at you as a child? He says, for thou hast possessed my reins. In other words, the idea is he's formed our inward parts. Thou hast covered me, or the word covered, it has the idea of knitting me together. So you've formed my inward parts, you've knit me together. In my mother's womb I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, unborn babies are human beings, and killing them is homicide. Unborn babies, under the law of Illinois, if they are killed intentionally, it is a homicide. And the law specifically states that it does not apply to an abortion performed. So if you are harmed, ladies, with child, whoever harms you, if your baby dies, they will go to jail for homicide. But if a woman goes to an abortion clinic and has an abortion, not only will that abortion doctor not go to jail, they are praised by our schools, they are praised by our society, and they will get paid. They will get paid big money. They will get paid anywhere from $200 to $600. And make no mistake about it, the motive for doctors to do this is money. That's the only motive. You might say, well, what about the health of the mother? Understand that 99% of the cases in abortion have nothing to do with the health of a mother. 99% of the cases are mothers simply choosing to kill a perfectly normal child. Now, what is normal to us may be a devaluation of life to someone else. 6% of that 99% are children born mentally handicapped or with birth defects. I don't know what was wrong with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but perhaps he was born with his condition. What if this was a birth defect? Killing a child in the womb, we don't know what these children would have been. But I know that over 50 million since 1973 have been aborted. How many astronauts, how many presidents of the United States have we killed? You may call it a choice, but the children that are dead are still dead, no matter what you call it. They're still dead. And they were not allowed a chance to live. How does this happen? Well, as I said, it's a philosophy that comes right from Hitler. It's a philosophy that comes from slave traders. The justification for abortion involves the dehumanization of the baby. You just change the terms. Don't call it a baby, call it a fetus or an embryo. Call it a blob in the womb. Take away its personality. Take away its humanity. This is what they did in Germany. This is what they did in the slave trade. They took away the humanity of kings and princes in Africa, and they turned them into slaves, saying that they were less than human. But saying that they are less than human does not make them less than human. Amen? Children in the womb are not less than human. And when we say that they are, we are following a teacher called Hitler. We are following a teacher called a slave trader. Now, this dehumanization is being used to ease the consciences of abortionists. So why does a woman, why do 43% of women in the United States make this choice? Because she's told by the doctors that are money hungry, she's told that this is not a baby, this is a fetus. She's told by her mother, she's told by her father, she's told by her teacher, she's even told by her church. This is not a baby. You can do whatever you want with it. It's your choice. I want to know about the 600,000 women that die every year in the womb. What about their choice? What about their rights? What about those women's right to choose? Now, if the woman chooses that she wants the baby, she declares that it's a baby. She doesn't say the fetus in my womb. Let's go to the fetus shower. Should we go to the fetus shower, the embryo shower? Should we do that? It all depends on what the woman wants. That woman is playing God, but the fault lies with those who tell the woman that you can make this a baby or you can make it an embryo. Do you see the insanity of this morality? And this is why our country is falling apart. This is why the shops around here are closing. Because if we cannot trust a mother to protect the baby in the womb, how can we trust a bank? How can we trust the guy down the street to sell us a good car? You rip the foundation of morality right out from under you, right in the family unit, and you not only are killing babies, you're redefining marriage. Now, I want you to know that you have a real important reason why you should stand up against this holocaust of infanticide. If we let this go in our society, in 30 or 40 years when I'm senile, they're going to kill me. Is that right? We won't have nursing homes anymore because people will not value their life. If they can dehumanize a baby, they can dehumanize a senile person that we ought to honor and respect. You're next if you don't stand up to this. Now we must understand that not standing up for God's law in our society, saying nothing, is encouraging homicide. The moral code of humanity and the conscience of humanity is violated in the act of abortion. Abortion is homicide. And the way people act towards it demonstrates that they know it's homicide. No matter how many teachers, no matter how many parents, no matter how many clergy tell them it's not homicide, they know it's homicide. Everyone has a conscience. God designed the human heart to act adversely when breaking God's law, and you can sear the conscience. But everyone knows that abortion is homicide. God put it in our hearts. Romans 2:15. All people show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. All people have God's law written in their hearts. We call that the conscience. And the adverse effect that people have when sinning against God's law, breaking God's law, is possible because of the conscience. Women who have abortions have deep guilt. Even though 43% of all women will experience an abortion during their lifetime, women will not talk about the subject. They will not talk about it. They'll never bring it up because there's deep, deep shame. It is the most common operation in America, more than heart surgery, more than knee replacement, more than hip replacement, whatever it is. Abortion tops them all. 1.2 million. And that doesn't include the RU486. They say abortions have come down. No, they haven't. They've gone up. We just don't know, because the RU486 procedures are not logged like abortions are logged. It is the most common procedure in America. You'll turn on the television, you'll see heart surgery. You'll see knee surgery. You will never see an abortion. Do you know why? Because you'll see hands and feet and faces. You'll see your children on television. They're children. The doctors know that this is a moral crime. They know it. That is why 9 out of 10 doctors in abortion clinics are not from that area. They fly in from far away because they don't want to be associated in their hometown with abortion. They know it. They know it. In an article written in the New York Times magazine, one doctor said, "Abortion is the dirty work of our field." Another doctor said, "Doing abortions can make you feel bad. No matter how pro-choice you are, it makes you feel low." Transparency there. You know, because of the Hippocratic Oath, there are almost no medical schools that teach doctors abortion procedures. According to New York Times Magazine, most of the teaching goes on in Planned Parenthood abortion clinics throughout the United States. It's not taught in medical schools because the only procedure outlawed in the Hippocratic Oath is abortion, and it's outlawed by name. You don't have to be a Christian to understand that abortion is homicide. God put it in our heart. And everyone on planet Earth knows that abortion is homicide. And the only way you get around it is by putting your convenience over the life of a child. And you have to become God. You have to sit in the seat of God. You have to sear your conscience and reinvent morality. And just put a line through the sixth commandment. And that's what we've done in our culture. Now, we'll support life anytime it's convenient to us, anytime it's easy or it even makes us look good. We'll support life. We'll go to Haiti. But when a child means that I have to lose my job and lose my career and lose all my dreams, that woman is willing to listen to those who contradict the law of God. A doctor has no right to take the place of God. Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It is God who has the power, because He is God, to give life and to decide when life will end. We are called to do something about this. Turn over to Psalm 83, verse 3. God's law still says, "Thou shalt not kill." It is still the sixth commandment. We are called to do something about this. Psalm 82 and verses 3 and 4, "Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked." The helpless, the needy, we're called to defend them. It's right that we should go to Haiti and to rescue the most vulnerable under the rubble. But what will we do about rescuing those who are in a womb that may become their tomb? We're called to do something for the 600,000 women that are aborted. Give them a right to life. Give them the ability to live their life. And the 600,000 little boys every year that are aborted. We're called to educate people. Now, the thing today is the RU486 drug. You need to educate the young women around you about this. They say that it's just some painless pill that destroys the life of the baby. No guilt, no consequences. But I want you to know that RU486 and the drugs associated with it are poison. And what happens when a girl takes that? It's a pill that the first pill starves the baby. It cuts off the food to the baby. And then three other pills are given. The pills that are given were never meant for this procedure. It was meant for ulcers. And what this pill will do is it expels the baby from the mother. It almost always causes, and this is according to the sites that the companies that promote this drug, it almost always causes vomiting, bleeding, and nausea if it's used in this way in a mother. And in most cases, women endure prolonged bleeding anywhere from 9 to 30 days. But I want you to know that if you know someone that ever takes this, if it's caught within 24 to 48 hours, you can turn the situation around. Let me tell you the true story of a girl named Ashley. Recently, she went to a clinic to get an abortion. They did an ultrasound to confirm the pregnancy. They did not allow her to see that ultrasound. They confirmed the heartbeat. She was not allowed to hear the heartbeat. She was told it was an embryo. She was told it was less than human, in other words, not directly, but implied. She was told to take the RU486 drug and the other pills that were to be taken in succession. She took the first pill, but within 2 days, she had second thoughts. She called the abortion clinic. They said there was nothing that they could do. She needed to finish taking the pills. And if she stopped now, the baby would be born missing limbs. This is what they told her. She went to a crisis pregnancy center. This is a place where they try to help and rescue young women in this situation. These are licensed doctors. They gave her progesterone to counteract the RU486. And I want you to know that baby was born. Her name is Kaylee. She was born perfectly healthy, a baby girl. Now, you can get involved at crisis pregnancy centers. Many of them are faith-based. And in certain situations, you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know of many pastors and Christians who are involved in these. I just found out there's one that's open in South Elgin, and I'm going to be calling them to see how I can get involved. I hope you will too. What are we supposed to do? Well, my plea to you is that you would not allow this only to be stirred up once a year around the anniversary of Roe v. Wade as we are today, but that you would go out and not simply make this right in our society. Because moral people who don't know God still go to hell. Our message to doctors, to the 43% of the women who have had abortions, if you're here and if you've had an abortion, if you've been struggling with this all your life and you've never said a thing about it, I want you to know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Does Jesus cleanse the guilt of abortion? He does. And the truth will set you free. Educate yourself. This is not an abortion issue. This is a gospel issue. Let's go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just simply preach morals. Let's say, young lady, you can be set free from all that guilt. Jesus Christ cleanses even those who kill babies. He can cleanse them. He can make them whole. He can take the victims, these women that are being really taken advantage of for their money and brainwashed. He can wipe them clean. Let's pray that God will give us the courage to stand up in this society and speak plainly, lovingly, rationally, but plainly about this. May God give us the grace to do so. Let's stand together.